Now, we're going to look at that something that's unique to Palm Sunday, the reading of the gospel and the procession into the church. And again, as I've said, this is not a theater piece. This is Christ acting in us to sanctify us. And so I'm going to try to set the stage. This year, which is C, we read the entrance account from Luke, A, B, C, Matthew, Mark, Luke. The liturgy itself is the same every year, but we're going to reflect on it from a different perspective than before. I'm going to start this account of the messianic entrance into Jerusalem is Luke 19, starting with verse 28. But I want to give you some of the background. First, there are two things. There's the account of Zacchaeus, tax collector, shady sort of an occupation, and his conversion. So he's in Jericho, way down in the south, way down at the bottom, Drew, right on the Jordan River. Hot down there. I've been down there when it's over 120, which is, getting up there. Anyway, he entered Jericho, was going through the town, when a man whose name was Zacchaeus made his appearance, and you know the story. Huh? He was one of the senior tax collectors and a wealthy man. We've gone through that, how the tax collectors get wealthy. He was anxious to see what sort of a man Jesus was, but he was too short and could not see him because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree. If you go to Jericho as a tourist, they'll show you the tree. But it's not that obvious. It's 2,000 years later, it's not the tree. But the guides are pretty clever about that sort of stuff. He climbed this sycamore tree. Now when Jesus saw them, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today. This is the town crook. This is the guy that collects all their money and keeps this bunch for himself. I'm going to stay at your house. And so he hurried down and welcomed him joyfully. That all the others complained when they saw what was happening. He's gone to stay at a sinner's house. This is the gospel we read in the Eastern Rite, and I often in the Western Rite, for the blessing of a house. Because he does go to a sinner's house. He goes to your house and my house. And that's why we bless the houses. And so, but Zacchaeus stood his ground and said, Lord, I'm going to give away half my property to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay him back four times the amount. So Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. And the Son of Man has come to seek out and to save what is lost. Now the next story is the power, and I can't read it all, we don't have time, is the parable of the pounds. It gives away this money, and one guy, the first fellow makes a lot of money with it, second one no, the third doesn't. You see? And so there's the difference between Zacchaeus, who spiritually speaking doesn't have a dime to his name, becoming rich. Jesus stays at his house, blesses his house, forgives him, changes his life, so he's not a crook anymore. But the third guy with these pounds, he hides them. Now Luke intends this to be, these are two reactions to what you're going to hear from now on in my gospel. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you going to be like Zacchaeus and take it in and be changed? Or are you going to be like this fellow and just hide it? Or the liturgy will point out, used to be, now it's discreet, but it used to be there was a prayer. Look, the liturgy contains the story of two traitors, Peter and Judas. It's your story. You're a traitor. Now you got a choice. Do you want to be Peter or Judas? You want to, repent and be welcomed back and embraced by Jesus and made important in the church, or you want to be like Judas and go hang yourself. it depends on whether you really believe, no matter what you've done, that Jesus will forgive you. You've got to know that. And that's why in the liturgy, more forcefully in the old liturgy, we got two traitors to look at. Which one are you going to be? Well, so now we come to the text itself, okay? So after saying these words, you see, he went on to Jerusalem. And when he was near Bethphage and Bethany, now Bethphage and Bethany, if you're standing here on the east side of Jerusalem, there's the Kedron Valley, and then up on the other side, the Mount of Olives, and you turn right and go down that side of the Mount of Olives, huh? It'd be the southeast side. And what do you know? There's Bethphage and Bethany still today there. And so that's where he was visiting Martha and Mary and Lazarus and all that. Okay. So now he's going to make his entrance. And this is the point from which there is no return. That's why the church says, let us do it with sincerity and really welcome him, to make reparation for the people who waved all their palms and threw down their clothes, but then they stood there and watched him get crucified. We want to make up for that, Jesus. We want to welcome you into our hearts, into our homes, into our parish. We want you to be king. We don't want to just wave our stuff and then go home. And that's why the church, in this great wisdom, says, let's reenact this scene so that we can remake it and make reparation to Jesus for it, and then be blessed as he comes into the parish, into our homes. And so that's why we read this gospel and then sing and process back in. And we're saying, welcome, Jesus, welcome, welcome, welcome. 1,000 welcomes. Achalam v'sachalam. Just come, Jesus, into my heart, into my family, into our parish. We want to start Holy Week the right way. Come. So it's not a game or a ceremony or a song. It's a gesture. And that gesture is Christ in us having a conversion for us, not him, and welcoming him. And so that's the text we've got, you see. And so it says, when he said this, you see, he went on his journey up to Jerusalem. He got near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples. Go into the village opposite you, which would be Bethany. And as you enter it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. He knows just what he's doing. He's going to make a messianic entrance into Jerusalem. And it says, you know, like the text says, fear not. You know, your king is coming to you riding on an ass, on the colt of an ass. That's from Zechariah and hinted at in Zephaniah. You see? And they know that. And so he's going to fulfill this. And so he says, now go down over there. You'll find a donkey, a tethered, take it. And if anybody asks you why, just say, the Lord has need of it. The Kyrios, the Lord, the Master, has need of it. And they'll let you go. So he went off, they found it. And then, as they were untying the colt and so forth, the Master has need, the Lord has need. So they brought it to Jesus. And now they all want to show him honor. And this is why we say, Lord, we want to really show you honor. We don't want to throw our cloaks down and pick palm branches and sing songs and then betray you. We want to do it right, which means we need a conversion. So, if I need it between now and the Triduum, I'm going to go to confession. I'm going to get ready to really welcome you. And so, they're all then praising God. And they're singing, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest, which comes from the Psalm. That's Psalm 118, which is a procession psalm into Jerusalem. But it's very interesting. Only in Luke do we have this, back in chapter 13, when he's talking about difficulties and so forth. You find he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, these are the last verses of chapter 13 of Luke. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you refuse. So be it. Your house will be left to you. Yes, I promise you. You shall not see me till the time comes when you say blessings on him who comes in the name of the Lord. So now they're saying it. That means some of them are getting ready to profit by his death and resurrection. And the rest, they're having a party. So then we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Is it just a ceremony that makes Mass a little longer? We're going to be later getting back home to watch the television? Is it a chance to have a conversion? Sing these songs with all our might and welcome him and get ready for ourselves and our families to celebrate. Look at all these texts I just read. It is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. Christ is there with us at the Mass to feed us, to enlighten us, to protect us, to heal us, to be with us. You see? And so, says now, they're all singing this song, and they're telling him, they say, Jesus, tell your disciples. They're getting carried away. And he says, I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out. The very stones will cry out. And that's the end of this procession. If the songs are well chosen by the cantor and the choir, whoever's going to do that, you see this whole notion of welcoming, really welcoming him. Jesus, we've done just what those folks have done many a time. At Mass, at home, you know, welcome, 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 Jesus. And we don't really mean it. I'm telling you this time, Jesus, change my life. Come into my heart. Let me be there with you. I want a conversion this year. So when I get to Mass, I'm going to get there on time and I'm going to sing with all my voice. I don't care if I like the music or not. I'm going to sing it and welcome you into my life. And this is why the bridge between the rest of the year and Holy Week is this ceremony. Then we go in and start Holy Week. And it's to give us a chance to make up to Jesus for all the times we've done just what this crowd did. Hallelujah, let's have fun, throw down our cloaks, have a great ceremony, and then go sin. We're not supposed to do that. If you do, get forgiven. But be ready, you see? And that's the point. And so, now we start the Mass itself, and the first reading is the servant song, one of them, the third one. And it goes, Adonai, 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 the Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. This is Jesus describing himself as the coming servant through the mouth and heart of the prophet. You see? The Lord God has opened my ear, which means he's obedient, you see? And I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced, therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. Those are Jesus' words. He knows this text. He is the Word of God, you see? And so he knows it. And so that's the reading that sets the tone for the rest of the liturgy.